ladies and gents, and welcome to episode 38 of Capes and Commentaries. I am your co-host, Nathan Kennedy, here with Tank Tops, Tyler Baker. And today we are talking Spawn, a series that spawned from the comics that came out in the mid-90s. And this show, this animated series, followed not long after. And then, the movie was, what, a
97.
Year? Yeah.
97.
Yeah. So they kind of intertwined a little bit here. But I remember when Spawn came out, Spawn was like the huge splash because Todd McFarlane was, you know, he had made it big. His Spider-Man covers in particular were sort of like the thing that made him famous. To me, anyway. It's just like those iconic covers. So you always.
But he's the guy who designed Venom, too. Like, you
yeah.
know, Venom and his historical one, Amazing and regular Spider-Man.
So when he broke off from that and was like, I'm doing my own book. I'm doing my own thing. It's a new character. Everyone's like, oh, what's it going to be? So I think I have the first handful of issues of Spawn, but it was also a comic. That was mostly a thing that my dad did. He's like, oh, it's new. We got to buy it. It'll be worth something one day. I don't know how much those books really go for now, but I didn't really read them. They just sort of sat in the boxes, so I never really checked it out until I watched the movie. And the movie itself, we've talked about this before, I think, is okay, but definitely a missed opportunity. And I guess we'll have to see how the new one goes with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but I kind of like that there's so much to. I mean, for me, I was introduced to Spawn in second grade. I went to a local comic book shop because Matt Dobbins, I'm sure Nathan remembers this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was in the comics as well.
And a lot of guys. That's kind of surprising. I'm sure they were in the comics for like a year and then they were like, all right, monster trucks or something.
Probably. I mean, at that time, you know, there was a few people that I knew that liked comic books, you know, and he suggested Spawn. And I had heard of it, and I went to pick up. I think issue number 7 was on sale, or had just come out, and where I picked it up, and it looked great, but it was over my head. Like I was seeing like these like naked fat dudes and stuff running around in the book, and I'm picking up a story that I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I had no clue, and it was almost one of those things where I knew that there was books meant for more adult readers, not pornographic or sexual, but just. The
yeah.
content was more serious, and you know, it was one of the things like, it looks really cool, but I can't figure this out, and maybe this is not really meant for me, but I still thought it was a cool character and everything. I thought the toys were cool. I didn't have any of them at first, and then I was interested in the show. Of course, we didn't have HBO, and I remember reading a Wizard magazine that Keith David had been announced as the voice of Spawn, which to me, that was a big deal. Like, oh, Keith David, he's perfect for the voice of Spawn. I got to maybe see a couple of minutes of it on HBO one time, and then I think I tried to rent it, and I couldn't quite get into it because I was expecting something more along the lines of frequent action beats like X-Men or Spider-Man. That's not what Spawn is. It's ahead of its time in terms of what I was looking for. But as someone who was really into Spawn at the time, it's perfect, and we'll get more into that. The movie is, as Nathan said, I was so pumped. That's kind of what got me back into Spawn in 97. When it was announced, me and my brother both, we were just like, all right, we really need to go back and revisit Spawn. So I spent that summer drawing Spawn characters. My brother did too, like just drawing, trying to copy, you know, like I bought the Bible and these beautiful illustrations of all the characters. So I would just try to draw Terry Fitzgerald based on what I saw, draw Tremor based on what I saw. My brother did the same thing, and we just were fixated on Spawn, the figures that summer. The comics that summer, we were just engrossed. Like when we saw the trailer drop on TV for the first time, it was all. I mean, we were looking for the movie figures.
The soundtrack's good. I like
it. It's a badass soundtrack.
Soundtrack's badass, man.
Yeah. And when we got out of the theater, we went to the theater next to Kroger over here, where Kmart, where it used to be. And we were both in my mind, like we were trying to talk about how good it was, but I just didn't want to admit it didn't. Live up to what I had hoped it was going to be.
Yeah.
And looking back at it, I haven't seen it in years, but I have a pretty good memory of everything that's in that film. What kills that movie is the dialogue is really bad. Mm-hmm. But even though they cast, you know, Martin Sheen looked like Jason Wynn, Michael Jai White was the perfect Spawn. John Leguizamo was great as Clown. It's just, you know, the special effects for their time were great, but, you know, and I think they kept the same backstory. They didn't change who the characters are supposed to be. It's just a lot of shitty dialogue and not really allowing it to really cut loose and be what it should be. I mean, it's PG-13. I'm sure New Line Cinema is trying to push as much as they can. But given that a lot of superhero movies have fallen victim to studio interference where they want to change up how they look, their backstories, I don't like that. I don't like that either. Change this, change that. Violator, Clown, Spawn, Cagliostro, Spawn Alley, the look of Spawn, what he does, his backstory is Al Simmons, all that's intact. I remember being pissed off that Terry Fitzgerald was white. I'm like, he's black, man. Why? What is the purpose of making his best friend white? I mean, when I saw that, it serves no purpose at all. You know, and it's just one of those things like, don't just change it just for the sake of it. But anyway, but maybe someday down the road we can revisit that film. But I rewatched that sequence, and me and Nathan used to joke about John Leguizamo's Clown for years. But I rewatched just for fun the segment where him and Clown clash in Spawn Alley for the first time when he gets pissed off and turns into Violator. It's a fun sequence. Violator does look good. And God, the Spawn outfit.
Yeah. No, they nailed it. Really good. Yeah. It kind of comes back to the dialogue and its delivery. It was almost in some parts just a little ham-fisted. You know, it's like they're all.
If you watch what we're getting ready to watch here.
Yeah.
They capture it perfectly.
Yeah, all day.
I mean, it's like reading the first few issues of Spawn. I mean, especially the first issue, it's right here on screen. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, dude. I was just saying.
Oh no, you're fine.
it should have maintained it. And I know McFarlane's been talking for years about a hard R Spawn movie. Like, whatever, dude. Because I feel like Spawn's just not popular anymore and hasn't been relevant for years. Still making comic books, of course, you know, and stuff like that. But you know, it's really gonna. You know, I hope he's got a lot of, you know, a good script with not bad dialogue. I mean, Jamie Foxx can do very good, but we also know, too, he's linked to some bad stuff as well. And I can't pick, he just doesn't have the look of an Al Simmons. Like, I just.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. You know, he just. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But maybe they'll do something to sort of make him look sort of different in the normal.
Well, he's got to be big. Al Simmons is a big dude. If you look at, you know, the visual look of Al Simmons, even in the cartoon, he's a big muscular guy. He's not cracking jokes. You know, he's a special forces assassin. You know, he's not someone who's just, you know.
Maybe they won't spend as much time with Al Simmons. Like,
probably not. And I think maybe right.
Yeah,
they would just jump right into it. Like, you see him as Spawn. He's trying, like in the first issue, he's trying to remember, who the hell am I? What you know, I'm here for a reason, and just trying to gradually figure out. I can't remember anything. And this Clown comes along and explains everything. I mean, it's just like right out of the comic book. So, you know, I don't know. I you know,
here's hoping. Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
but we're gonna check out this first episode of Todd McFarlane's Spawn. From HBO, which I saw the tapes at Two Thumbs Up Video and Frank's. I would see them there on the shelf because I didn't have HBO. And back then, and I guess it still does to a degree, HBO had this mystique of like, oh my God, if it's on HBO, then it's
serious.
Yeah, yeah.
More mature. And I think there was altered versions, like a more adult edit of the show. And then there was one that lacked some of the language or content as well, because I remember seeing two versions of it, because one had like a more darker image on the VHS tape, I think, and insinuating that this is the more adult version of it, which I'm like, oh wow, you know. But you know me, at times, like, I could sit through certain films and not worry about, there's not enough action, but for some reason I couldn't quite jump into Spawn as much as I was hoping to for the cartoon, at least, because the movie doesn't take long to take off and you start seeing stuff and it's an hour and a half. But this is taking its time, and like, you know what, and you know, I can't wait to visit the rest of the show. I mean, after watching it last, I was dead tired when I watched it, but I loved every minute of it, though.
Yeah.
So we'll get into it and explain why.
Yeah, as of this recording, if you guys want to buy the complete series, is what, $15 on Amazon?
Yeah, the entire series, yeah.
If you are a Prime member, all three seasons are available to watch on Prime Video, which is what I'm going to do. So,
does yours have the introduction with Tom McFarlane?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure we're in sync with that.
Yeah, I'm going to try my best not to laugh during his introduction because it's so like dry. And he's Canadian, and but he also has a slight lisp, and not that there's like any problem with that, but it does. He sounds kind of funny. I'm not gonna lie.
He's trying to go for like a Rod Serling, you know.
I guess, but it just
for your approval.
Yeah, it wasn't. it made me laugh last night. I was like, "What? Okay."
I mean, because I've always had an appreciation for his work in general, so I didn't find the comic con. I actually kind of thought it was kind of cool, to be honest.
All right.
Not that I had to have it at the beginning of every episode, but
right.
You know, I get what he was trying to do.
All right. Well, without any further ado, give us that countdown and we'll get it rolling.
3, 2, 1, action. Oh, damn, the sound's on.
Yeah, you might want to mute that.
Next thing you know, there's a knock on my door from the HBO. Hey!
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, this looks cool, but once he turns around and he starts talking, it's just... Hang on, I want to hear it first, and then I'll do my version of it.
Okay, I do like the set he's on, like the church, like the cathedral here. So, have your answer, eh? Hey, buddy.
I'm Todd McFarlane, and I created Spawn. He just sounds like he's very, like, he looks confident, but he just sounds nervous as fuck.
Well, he probably is because he's not an actor. You know, he's an artist, and that's it. But I think it's good that they made him such a prominent part of this show because it's his creation. He drew it. He wrote it. He needs to be front and center for some of this stuff, and I can appreciate them giving him this introduction to the show here like this. So, and like, you know, make sure we put Stan Lee in a movie that he didn't have nothing to do with. Let's put him in a Venom movie. He had nothing to do with Venom.
Right.
You know what? I was thinking too, like, when I suggested to Nathan about Spawn, you know, I was so frustrated the way Black Panther is getting all this attention from me. Like, it's the first black superhero. I'm thinking Spawn and Blade, both black superheroes, have nothing to do with race. They're just badass characters. And even though the Spawn film did not do what it was intended to do,
yeah,
I'm like, why was there no praise and like Oprah Winfrey coming out and celebrating these films?
Because back then, people didn't give a shit about that. Now, all of a sudden, everyone does. And I'm sorry, but like, Black Panther wasn't even the best
Marvel movie
like that came out that year to me. I don't know. Like, I don't get the appeal. I watched it, and I'm like,
it's not that good. It has some good moments, but overall, it's just
best
like all the other Marvel movies.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. Yeah. And that's just pushing to say it's
just an agenda shit. That's all it is. Like. Because if it didn't get nominated, I imagine people would be like, "Well, why wasn't it nominated?" It's because you don't like black people. It's like, no, it just wasn't that good of a movie. So anyway, it's nominated. There we go.
Yeah, for most popular film, isn't that what the category is? See, I mean, they had to make up a category to honor this horse shit.
No, it is nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, it is Best Picture because I thought they were like going to start like a brand new category. For like most popular film,
really?
I'm not reading about that. Then again, I don't care about the Oscars. And
yeah,
in over a decade.
Yeah, I haven't given a shit about the Oscars in a long time. But
I just hate that movie. This character in Blade, who were very popular characters, and neither one of them focus on the issue of race.
Yeah,
it's not an issue. It's not addressed. They're just superheroes, and their skin is black. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's like the act like, we've never seen this before. People are like, guys, get your head out of your PC asses.
Yeah. It annoys me. I hate it. But anyway, on to Spawn. The animation in this is fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It really made me feel like MTV in the 90s when they were pushing like the adult contented shows like Aeon Flux, Beavis and Butthead, The Max, you know, where it's just, it's got adult maturity written all over it just before anybody's talking. I mean, before you really see anything going, because Kyle Gloucester is doing the narration, of course, but all of this, like the, I mean, this guy's going to have his head blown off with a shotgun.
Yeah.
There's blood all over the place already. The camera angles, the constant, you know, flashing to Spawn. And Spawn looks great. We haven't even seen him in action yet.
Excuse and me. I like that first person view of like the gun.
Yeah.
Moving back and
this
forth as well.
Bullet penetrating the leg. Look at that. All that blood splattering. Now this is ballsy superhero container, people. And you watch all that silly nonsense that Disney XD or Disney Kids, whatever it is, and they got.
Well, I mean, this was.
It's just like superheroes can be done, you know.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't always have to be for 2 year olds. You know, especially when people our age and older have kept these characters alive for years. But nah, we don't matter. We never have. Oh, I love these close-ups. Spawn's eyes, you know, just that beautiful neon green. I love the chains coming over the cross like that. It just throw me in the effect of his cape wrapping around the cross, and then coming back off. That's just beautifully animated.
Yeah, this poor guy, about to get covered in gasoline.
Yeah. And what this is all so great to see all these characters. It doesn't go well for any of them. I mean, even when Spawn comes in to save him, it still just does not go well at all. And I just love like this, still pouring the gas over the guy's fingers, and just so I really hope this new Spawn movie is it's all this content from the language to the violence to the macabre. All of it. An introduction for Spawn like this. Yeah! And I like the whipping sound of his chain. It's like the sound effect of a choosing Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just... this is like something right, it's like right out of a movie. This imagery of the lighter and the hat plopping in the gas.
It's... honestly, kind of amazing too, in a way, when you think about it, that Sin City sort of didn't get the same treatment maybe back in HBO in the 90s, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it definitely could have benefited from a show like this. I think a lot of characters, like Punisher or Daredevil, I mean, like the, you know, Blade, you know, I know they've done like some straight to video animated stuff, but I don't think they really resonate. Like, jeez, breaking his elbow like that.
Yeah.
God. Keith David. He needs to be voice of more.
And characters. I like that visual of the shadow, but it's red. And
yeah.
Beautiful.
I just love how they take so much care. That's just amazing. Oh, God. And he just stands there and watches. Because there's nothing he can do.
I mean, it is a good thing for Spawn fans that we did get that. There's some booby action.
Yeah.
That they were able to get a show like this, if they were disappointed by the movie, you know?
Yeah, and that, I think that's always important, too.
And that they came out really close together.
And they took advantage, because Spawn was so popular. I think to the point where he was beating Marvel and DC at one point, McFarlane was, or Image Comics was, because of Spawn, even though they had Wildcats and Savage Dragon too. Here's Clown, a fun little introduction, much like in the comic book, just coming out. And I love too that it's definitely keeps the content of the comic intact, and that for someone coming in who's never watched this before, they might be a bit confused as to what's going on, but it plays off like a very serious film. Like, they're not going to come out and explain to you right away.
Yeah. They'll
give you these ideas in detail.
You'll get bits and pieces, and then the whole story will gradually unveil itself.
Yeah, because right now he's just kind of laying hints down, but doesn't elaborate to Spawn exactly what he is and where he came from till later on in this episode. You know, and to go back to what you said too, like, we've gotten some great animated series, and the movies, the best ones are few and far between, and they have been for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
And if you've gotten a great animated series, you know, Superman and Batman have, Spider-Man has, Spawn has, X-Men has, Justice League. So we all like to see the
best. At least we have those, right?
Yes.
And yet, and here we go with the story, and now we're getting into, like, he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
stuff's gonna kind of get explained to him, but we're still not gonna get the entire thing, you know.
No,
we're only getting it here, sort of in flashbacks. Yeah, I might have to go by that antique store and see if that Spawn figure's still there and pick it up.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like, I think this is really gonna rejuvenate, because
gotta buy them all.
I was looking back at some of the Spawn figures for fun. I'm like, God, I remember I had they released a beautiful Al Simmons. I forgot what wave it was, but he looked like Rambo, and he had his base was like a severed corpse on the ground, but he's got a bandana, machine guns, all kinds of artillery on. It was and I remember owning that one with a bunch of others. It was
what happened
buying those and Movie Maniacs at the same time, dude. It was a fun time to be buying action figures. It really was.
Well, where are those figures now? Do you still have them? They're just
somewhere? I'd have to look. I mean, because I never sold any of that stuff, but it's all hard right. to say if my dad or my mom was just like, he just want to play with these and throw them in the corner. And I'm like, you know, it's 1970s, you know, 20 years old or still mentality where they think all kids just throw them in the corner. So I know my brother did get rid of some of his stuff, or he just kind of disregarded it, but I'd have to double check, because I did own a bunch of those. I really did. I was a fan of the mythology. I think one of the last original unique mythologies with an interesting roster of heroes and villains, a simple story, and God, it was very, very interesting, and it lends itself to be something like this or a live action film, you know. Because
yeah.
Not everything's got to be, you know, brightened up for the kids, you know, because adults need content too. Besides kids only, you know, they only focus on so much. And here's Cogliostro.
I like how those hobos, like that one was trying to just be like, hey, here you go, man, just drink this.
Yeah. I think they're in the comics as well, too, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, because the visual look too, which I was so glad HBO was just like, we're sticking to everything. Like Cogliostro, Terry, Wanda, Cyan, like they all look like the comic book counterparts. Jason Wynn, I mean, they like, we're gonna do this. We're doing it right. We're not gonna sit and come in and like, I don't like how Wanda looks. We're gonna make her a big blusty blonde. Like, no, she's a very hot black woman. The way she ought to be. Now, Sam and Twitch. The infamous duo, that's a beautiful, that's what you want to see.
I think I have the figures of Sam and Twitch.
Sam and Twitch, yeah. Yeah. They were cool looking figures.
Yeah. They didn't stand really well, from what I recall. But I remember those guys came out at the same time of the Twisted Land of Oz figures that he did.
And I had some of those too, yeah.
Yeah, those were cool.
Yeah, I had the Wizard and I had the Lion.
Back when you could go to Spencer's Gifts or a video game store or anywhere really and pick up those figures. Now it's like you got
even Toys R Us. Toys R Us used to carry that stuff pretty heavily too. Yeah, this is just classic film noir almost, you know, with a very dark edge to it. And you know, this is not being all like broody, you know, Christopher Nolan Batman stuff. This is just, you know, this is what you'd expect in a dark alley with, you know, multiple homicide murder. It should be dark, brooding, but not like, you know, I just feel like they get it. This is how you tell a dark story. You don't constantly remind everybody, you know, oh, deep and depressed I am, and all that other stuff. It just it has nothing to do with the story. It's just the look and the proper tone. And even though, like, they're making this remark about, because yes, Sam is an obese, you know, binge eating cop, but I don't feel like that joke about him wanting to get a dozen donuts. You know, it's like, well, how come you don't think that's like that's because it's just a quick throwaway line, and then we move on. It's not trying, and it's done at the end of the scene.
Now he's gonna bang Wanda on the kitchen floor.
I like how they make a point to show him like lifting up her top so you can see her panty line there. Hoo ha!
This is kind of fucked up though when you really think about it. Like his friend ends up marrying
and giving his wife a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love how Clint likes to remind him, like, you know, so your best friend's been giving it to her and gave her a child too, which you couldn't do. Like, it's very depleting. I mean, it which makes Spawn a very sympathetic character. It just adds a lot of depth to this character. You know, something that had not really been done before because they didn't have to hold back in terms of content. You know, and that was one of the best things about Image is that we don't have to worry about, you know, we can put in more edgier situations and not have to worry about.
And that's why people flock to it. Because, you know, despite what people say about things, you know, the PG-13 movies, they do it to get the kids there. Like, yeah, to a degree. But at the same point, I feel like everybody wants to see some edgier stuff. Like everyone always has that part to them, even if they're like goody goody and they're like, oh well, blah, blah. There's still like that intrigue to certain things that they're like, well, I want to check it. It kind of like goes against certain things, but I want to check it out. That's
yeah, what being drawn to something that is not the normal, like, oh, that looks different and that looks like out of my comfort zone.
Yeah,
which is why I still feel like if Batman 89 was the juggernaut that it was, and why are people so quick to forget that a movie that wasn't trying to be silly, it took the content and the character very seriously and was the giant smash of 89. I love this.
Firing blanks. And I like how his ice cream cones just like got maggots and
it's just a complete flies. That is clown. Grotesque, disgusting. The hair on his belly. I mean, just there to just torment Spawn. Like, that is
wild. And here we get that line of dialogue, like, he's been dead 5 years, and he's like, what?
That'd be kind of redundant, you know, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Yeah, I like that.
I feel like I need to just revisit the movie and just...
I honestly was kind of intrigued because I, you know, visually...
It's cheap on Blu-ray. I think.
Oh yeah, you could probably get even cheaper on, you know, full screen DVD.
Yeah. I think I have the DVD in there.
That was something I never did buy, but I rented it a lot on VHS because I really, really wanted to like it. And I think there were things about it I did like. I really did. And you want go back and watch the trailer for this for the live action film. It's a kick ass with Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime, doing the narration for the trailer. Yeah. God, man, it was you know, make your nipples hard, dude. August 97, dude. I remember going to the theater. The movie poster for the movie is awesome, too. Just that half face of Spawn with the green eye lit up. Simple and effective. And I was watching this, too. Like, Danny DeVito, after seeing him like on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, will make a great clown.
Do we know who's going to be clown in the new movie?
I've seen very little info on that movie.
Other than Jamie Foxx and Todd McFarlane's directing it.
Yeah, I don't and maybe it's best that the movie like that is so under the radar, people aren't paying attention because it's all about the latest Marvel bullshit, and we can't wait to see Captain Marvel because it's a woman, man. Like, she's lame. She sucks. And I'm like, I hope it flops.
It won't.
It's fun to see so many people are posting that they think it's going to be a flop. But
Really? People?
Yeah.
I don't think
because it's coming off, I think, to people like an agenda film.
And Black Panther didn't. That thing did shit tons of business.
Well, I think the whole like pushing because it's a woman, you know.
Oh, but anyway. Well, yeah, this coming up here is a good visual. Al Simmons is looking at his own body there in the casket, and he goes to get the ring off of the finger, and that's
just all these graphic details. I mean, such care and detail is put into scene that we're seeing here. The quick flashback, this is just like in the comic books.
It's cool how it's just gradually opening itself up.
Yeah. You know, and it's done in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And you get what's going on before the show really takes off. And you're like, how the hell is it people are given 2 hours of screen time? They can't convey a single coherent story. You know, like that, you know, lame ass Clash of the Titans remake. I just want to take the slam that piece of shit. Just because.
Ah, here we go.
Yeah.
Look at that. Oh, yeah.
That's great. I had the flesh.
I mean, granted, if he has been dead 5 years, I imagine he would be a little more deteriorated than that, but point still stands.
Yeah.
Al and Wanda forever.
Yeah, definitely makes him a very damaged character.
There we go.
Yes, I just find myself just watching.
Well, you know.
It's just, and I've always loved Spawn's cape. I mean, some superheroes have got, you know, that's part of the look, but Spawn's cape, I mean, it goes then beyond and then some. And I love that. It's like his cape is its own character almost.
Yeah.
And this is great. This face to face here with his corpse and the flashing back and forth. I mean, it's just great imagery, great storytelling.
And here we go. Now we know kind of what's going on.
Yep.
But we still don't know really exactly how he died. So yeah. And that's cool.
And such a tormented deal like that. If you become a legitimate member of my army, you can see your wife. But just knowing that you can see her with another man and a child.
Yeah.
Like that's classic.
Well, I mean, that's how the devil works, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to say I highly recommend the TV show Reaper to anybody. Yeah, it's like it's sort of comedy and stuff, but it actually it's a good show if no one has seen that. Fantastic. Motherfucker caught sucking shits.
I love this introduction of Tony Twist, who is in the comic books as well, and Jason Wynn here. But this is just great interaction between these two. And I love that the show, all the stuff going on in Tony's apartment, you know, with the two, I'm assuming, hookers or escorts or women who clearly have to be paid to be there. You see them.
Yeah.
Jason Wynn looking as menacing. Look at this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Explicit outfits and
pouring a shot. Yep. Sucking on her titties.
Yeah. That's, I mean.
HBO, man.
And Tony walking around in his little Speedo outfit.
Yeah. With his gut hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you display scumbags. I mean, this complete utter just slime is going to have his way with these two beautiful women who obviously have been paid to be there.
Yeah, it's like a G-string, too.
Yeah. Because a guy that looks like him, I mean, look at all the attention of like the just the fat on his back and everything. It's like watching, you know, Joe Don Baker walk around in a G-string.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to think about that.
No, when he's the fat on his back, it made me think of a joke from Final Justice. Watch my back. Watch it jiggle as I move. Yeah, all of this is just—it's just fun to see these villains be portrayed in a very serious. It's about being serious, people, not playing your villains for laughs. You know, because that's what takes away their edge, and they don't become as threatening. Jason Wynn popping on cigarettes there. I still say Martin Sheen probably could have been a good Jason Wynn, but
yeah, he was just too over the top with his performance.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's that's on the direction and the tone they were going with. It was, yeah, the tone was inconsistent with that,
yeah,
film.
Yeah.
Because he looked just like Jason Wynn.
And I always liked these aspects of villains that sort of transcended them of just being like your typical run of the mill. Here's a bad guy in a town. Like, this is, as we're seeing right here, this is going up the chain, up the ladder. Yeah. You know,
it's like a Lex Luthor aspect.
Yeah,
you know, and he's not a superhero, or super villain kind of character. He's a businessman, but like, and much like Lex Luthor in the Kingpin, you know, villains like that are human. But they're smart. They're evil to be evil. They think about nothing but themselves. Like, those are some of the best villains. Attacking this poor guy from Internal Affairs.
Yeah. Just the shadowing. Like, I do, like, with the looking at the cops from his point of view, I get Batman the Animated Series vibe from that too.
Yeah,
like the animation is sort of similar in a way.
Yeah, well, because at night, you know, it there should be a lot of shadows.
Yeah,
you know, not everything should be so illuminated, so to speak. Except for Spawn's blood in his eyes, that should be the only thing illuminating in this scene. So I'm glad he didn't go, damn, just like he does in the movie. We're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Spawn would not say stuff like that. Ugh.
Yeah, always knocked it out of the park with the visual of just, like, his cape, mm-hmm, always.
Yeah, him just walking down the alley there. And again, met with the clown again, just there to harass the hell out of him. Because that's what he loves to do, and to kill this poor little rat.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does when he's talking.
And I like this narration right here.
Yeah. Kind of letting you know that it's, and even to a new audience member, like, it still leaves you like
wanting more.
Yeah, like
you're in for the right.
Like,
yeah.
What kind of war? Like, what are we talking about here? Because it's, the content alone tells you this is not meant for kids or people. Everything you don't, it's just strictly dealing with a lot of dark thoughts and ideas.
Boom, done.
Very cinematic. Shirley Walker, who did the animated series music, as well as the music for Escape from L.A. with John Carpenter, Mask of Phantasm. She knows how to kick a lot of ass. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us, but I light up when I see her name.
And yet they would have made a huge deal about it now. I can't help but not talk about this. Like, sorry, guys, but like, doesn't matter if it's a woman or a black guy. Like, why do we have to emphasize on that? Why can't they just stand alone on that? And you can just think that yourself. It doesn't have to be presented and, like, smacking you in the face with it. Like, look what we did. It's like, no, just cut that shit. I hate that. I hate that society is so clinging to just certain aspects of things, like that Gillette commercial. People were throwing a fit about it because it shows boys bullying other boys and men being misogynistic and all this stuff, and its message was like, hey, we need to be better about being men. And people got offended by that, like, oh, you're taking the piss out of it. And it's like, no, like, men and women, but humans are shitty, people are shitty, like, just be better people. I don't know why. I'm so tired of, let's just get offended by any little thing, no matter what spectrum it's on. If you're offended because it's vulgar, or if you're offended because whatever reason, like, just fucking stop. Life is too short and to get caught up in all the dumb,
yeah, pettiness, I feel like, of things. You know what? If you have that much free time away from paying bills, taking care of family, or doing things that you enjoy, or, you know, watching sports or whatever, I mean, if you want to take time to go to social media and say something that is just going to get overlooked by everybody, What kind of a pussy are you anyway? that you just have to let everyone know who really doesn't give a shit about what you think about this. I just
or on the other hand, you have the people that will post said things, and that draws out other people that I just like. What's the sense in fighting with one another? I just don't. Yeah. I don't get it anymore.
Arguing over what some very uninspired celebrity, who in my eyes I'm like, they have no talent, but somehow their talent because they were popular 20 years ago, five years ago, whatever the case may be. They're on Twitter, Instagram, share a picture. Like, I have to let them know that I don't like it.
Oh, and the other thing too is if someone famous did something in their past and it gets like dug out of the grave, and it's like, look, check this out. I'm sorry, but most of you, if I went back 20 years ago, yeah, there's probably shit that I did that I would be like, oh God, what was I thinking, or why did I do or say that? Like, everybody does it. Just because you're under a microscope from, like, I don't get it. Why? What purpose does it serve? To show that, oh yeah, everybody makes mistakes, especially when they're younger. Like, just stop. Sorry, we need to get off of the podium, but I just stop being so offended by it. I feel like we would all be happier if people would just stop being offended by every single thing.
Appreciate entertainment because it's great entertainment, not because, oh, look at the agenda here. We're taking the purpose of entertainment from music, movies, to television shows, to sports.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, enjoy it for what it's giving you, not because of, well, they're not really saying it, but I'm pretty sure what they're trying to say is Tom McFarlane saying that we're keeping the black man down. Or something like nonsense agenda or whatever.
Well, it's like with people in sports teams, like people, I don't know who that Will's in the chat, and he's a very passionate Saints fan, but at the same time too, like, if they lose and everything, like, he's mad about, but he's over it. There are people that get into fist fights with other people just about sports teams. I'm like, you're getting mad about, like, all those guys are rich. You think they give a shit? They might kind of care that they lost and didn't win a title, but they're still rich, so it doesn't matter. Like, just stop.
At the end of the day, they're still getting a massive paycheck that we can never experience to get.
Yeah. I don't know. The world,
and then they get paid vacation when the season's over.
Yeah,
you know,
the world is just silly that way in all aspects. Just like, really, I don't get offended by anything.
I'm offended by people going to see some of the crummiest movies because that's like they keep throwing more of them out there. But you know what? No one cares what I have to say. And my statement is, I just don't go see him, and I don't support him. And that's it, because there's nothing else I can do about it.
Well, Who Dat Whale says, I got spit on at a away game because the Saints won. See, people are shit. Like, stop taking it. So sports are entertainment, where you're watching it to have a good time, win or lose. And going back to the whole thing, like, I don't get offended by anything. You could come up to me and say the worst shit, like, just saying things. I will not bat an eye. Like, yeah, if you spit in my face or something, obviously I'm going to be pissed off because, one, you shouldn't be doing that to people anyway. But the only things that bother me are lazy people in the workplace. Like, if they keep me from doing my job effectively, I don't like that. And I honestly just don't like it when people feel like they have to sit here and spout, like, just – sometimes it sounds to me just nonsense. I'm like, all right, cool, that's your opinion, but if everyone else around you is uncomfortable, like, people that don't know how to read the room, that's what I'll get. But we'll get off of that thing. But thanks to Fedmon, JSP, Brian C. Little, and Who That Will, who popped in the chat, and thanks to some of the others that popped in to watch. Brian C. Little is your favorite blockhead, and it was funny because he said, you guys are supposed to be taking care of you. Alrighty then. And yeah, he brings up a good point, and we'll discuss this because there will be another show going on this week, but there will not be a Beyond Retro. We're going to take a break from that this week.
Yeah.
Spawn was something that we both wanted to do. So the next couple weeks are just going to be sort of touch and go. It's going to be like, hey, you guys want to do this? Okay, then we'll do it. If Tyler doesn't want to do something and Joe and I can do something, Joe and I will do something. That's just kind of how we're gonna play it, and then collectively we'll all be back together.
Yeah, because we I had suggested this, and I had my meltdown, you know, after we'd already said we were going to do this, because, you know, I went ahead and bought the series because I don't own it. And, you know, Nathan was saying, like, you know, we can go ahead and do Studio. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with the Deuce Bond because I don't have that kind of – I didn't have that pressure on me to try to appease the people who just want to play with damn toys and just talk, you know, ankle and shoulder articulation and shit like that. But I this was fun. I'm relaxed. I'm not.
The whole thing.
I'm having fun with my best friend, talking about a great kick-ass superhero show.
Well, it's to be fair, it's easier for you to hop into Beyond Retro or Capes and Commentaries because your main frustration with the shows is with fans power, just because of the toy talk. You want to talk more about the mythology of the property and not so much, hey, what's the newest toys coming out. And I'm going to give you guys the exclusive here. Joe and I will be on Fans of Power tomorrow night. It won't be a long episode, but there were the new Super 7 reveals. I asked Joe if he wanted to talk about them. Joe was like, you read my mind. So we're going to do that because, you know, even though the podcast, its main focus is on that, anytime there is new news, Joe does want to discuss it, and we'll talk about it. Tyler won't be there.
No, I don't give two shits about a bunch of variants of He-Man, Man-at-Arms, and Teela crystallized and covered in gold.
Well, there we go. You got his thoughts, yeah, but Joe will take the reins on that one. I've seen him. I'll talk about him. Febmon asks if there's any plans for arcade. Yes. I don't know if it will be tonight or tomorrow, but I am off on Monday. I got a 3-day weekend. I did that for myself. So maybe Sunday night, maybe Monday, but I'll pop in for something. That'll definitely happen.
Nathan's got some legitimate time to him and this girl and not have to worry about work. So this guy is going to enjoy his time as best he can here. So
The main thing too, and I want to, Joe and I will say this also on Fans Power because people are going to be like, well, wait, you're back. I thought you were taking a break. But we were never quitting because we did get a few concerns of like, are you guys done? People reaching out to us. No, we were never quitting. It was just a thing of let's take a week off, maybe not do as many shows or any at all. We were seeing how everybody felt. And my main thing was just on the Saturday, and they had it, which is why I put in a personal day for Monday, because the way that my job works is if you put in a personal day for Friday or Monday and they end up scheduling overtime for a Saturday and you get approved for the Friday or the Monday, you don't have to work that Saturday. And that was the case come Wednesday. And I had already put in for the personal day. So I'm like, I just want a 3-day weekend. But Wednesday, they're like, Saturday, it's scheduled. And I was like, well, cool. I get my 3-day weekend anyway. But then they ended up yesterday canceling overtime. So at least everybody that I work with, they get their full weekend. But point I was trying to make is my main thing was just if I'm working that Saturday and we don't do Capes and Commentaries on a Saturday, you know, if Tyler's got something else going on, I wake up too late, just don't want to do it because I got to, you know, do that and then go into work. That Sunday, it's Capes and Commentaries, 30-minute break, Beyond Retro, hour and a half, 2 hours. So we're done with that. And then, you know, Tom and I hang around and talk after the shows. That's what you guys, I guess, don't kind of ever see is just when we're done recording, Tyler and I will sit here and talk for like another half hour. So that would end about 4:30. And then that leaves me with roughly, 4 hours between that and Fans of Power. And then it's Fans of Power. And if I'm on that too, then that's another 2 hours. And then talking with Joe. And there's that whole day. And then boom, it's back to work. So when you get in the routine and that starts to happen more and more, like more and more Saturdays are scheduled or something, I was like, can I not be on Fans this week? Or can, you know, and Tyler and I were just like, because Joe had shit going on, as we said there before, and he missed a couple of the Fans episodes. So it was basically Tyler and I had, you know, because you want to be consistent, but at the same time too, it just sort of like wore us down a little bit. And then you throw in Tyler's frustrations with the content that people tend to view more of. And he's like, hey, we had this interview over here and not as many people watch this as us talking about more of the variants that Super 7's putting out. And yeah, I could see that. And most of you guys that reached out to us in the message sort of like agreed with that. It's like it can be frustrating, especially with that kind of community. Because let's face it, the Masters community is fickle at times, and they're very passionate, but at the same time too
lazy.
When
I say that, I don't mean everybody. I mean in terms of, like, you know, no one really wants to do any kind of research. They just want to. And of course, it's like that with any social media.
Oh, yeah.
From Star Wars, whatever, G.I. Joe, NBA basketball, whatever. People don't have time to do a quick reference point. But I, you know, it just kind of feels like they want the bare minimum. And, you know, if that's your interest, if that's your priority, that's fine. I'm not, but I just kind of felt like I just wanted people to realize there's so much more to it. And that's why I love doing these commentaries, because it's more fun to actually just visit these shows and remind everybody there's a lot of great entertainment out there that's been forgotten or doesn't get talked about much or is overlooked pretty frequently because of other things. And, you know, I have such passion for action adventure, animation and movies and things like that too. And, you know, not everybody is into that stuff. And I, you know, not everybody, I crave info and content on this stuff. I'm in the minority on that. Not everybody's into that stuff, which is why all those interviews don't seem to do as well. But I just want to give people something different. I feel like there's so many great things to learn and to keep you excited about stuff, not just with He-Man, but with these commentaries we do for, you know, all these kick-ass animated shows. Like, if we're not getting anything now, there's some great stuff to go revisit. And toys, it may pique your interest to go on eBay and dig up Spawn toys, Rambo toys, or whatever. You
know, we're like helping the economy. We're helping the economy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do it for free. You know, we're the
Tillman's
of podcasting, you know. Free!
Your neighbor's wife has a vibrator that sings, "Come All You Faithful"? I'm going to want one, too. It's George Carlin, by the way.
I was going to say, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I'm gradually working on, and I've had a lot of people reach out to me privately, from listeners to other people in the community, and who took time to let me know their thoughts, and they've done it with Joe and with Nathan. I think everybody. There's some people I've yet to respond to, but you know, because I just kind of get frustrated. Like, sometimes I just didn't want to talk about it. Like, I just want to keep my mind away from it as much as possible.
Well, and that, you know, that's the purpose of breaks. That's why you're taking time away from fans. That way you can recharge and get your mind away from it, and then come back and be refreshed. And you know, Fedmon and these guys here in the chat are kind of like suggesting things, and I'd been thinking about it all week too. And the three of us will discuss it moving forward. Maybe it'd be times where, you know, we should like kind of alter the schedule a little bit and just sort of like alternate between a Capes and Commentaries and a Retro. Maybe not do both in one week, but it depends. It's going to, you know, it just depends on how everything shakes out. But we kind of talked about this for a while, but no, we're not quitting. We're not going anywhere.
No.
That was never a thing. We're not just going away forever. But I did notice we are three away from 100. We are almost there. So I'm hoping maybe once I do another video game stream or something, we can, if I can do it early enough too, and catch Joe, and Joe is in there, and be like, "Hey, promote that real quick," and maybe we can get those subs just go over the top, because I want to hit 100. We're almost there. It's been so. Oh, this channel, I've only been recording the show on its own channel now for a year, so it's not super horrible. Obviously, it could be better, and that is. I would say that's frustrating. Like, we try not to concentrate on the views for things or the subscribers or whatever, but it's hard not to.
If you're going to take time to do a podcast, you're doing it for people to listen to it.
Yeah.
And if you don't see people listen to it, you feel, you know, you do feel like your efforts are going nowhere, because we're not looking to be, you know, we'll be like Doug Stanzo and talk about, you know, generic stuff or whatever. And I know he's like one of the most popular podcasters right now and stuff like that. We're not.
Wait, bro. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my God. The guy that was on Girls Gone Wild. He's the.
No. Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Like some of his stuff's okay, but for the most part, he's just a dick.
Yeah.
That's his gimmick. He's like, I'm a dick. It's like, all right. And he looks like one too.
But I don't want to be fixated on. I really don't, because it kills a lot of fun for me, because I'm thinking people don't care about what we're doing, because I feel like we are doing something that other people are not doing, or at least if they're doing it, they're not being very informative or intelligent, because anybody with a computer can throw their, you know, their open-ended asinine.
I mean, I guess we could start just like reading from scripts. Sorry, yeah. I'm like stretching on the show, and people are like, especially the audio. I'm sure that's gonna sound funny.
Where you're gonna be like me, Gene Porno, you know? Yeah. Oh, Hulk. Oh.
Ah, man. I need to go to that masseuse that you go to and just get her to...
right down over here.
Dude. Yeah, I know. My mom went
to see her 2 weeks ago, and she felt wonderful. And her rates are very reasonable too. I mean, like for the treatment you get. In the amount of time, she's very, very reasonable. I'm telling you, dude.
Because, like, well, seriously, it's been here. It's just like a catch.
Well, given what you do, have been doing for years, you do need to get a massage.
Yeah.
I
can just, like, feel it. It's just, like, crunching right there. It's like.
Well, you probably got lactic acid built up in your joint. I had it in my tailbone a couple of years, and she crunched it out. You could feel the lactic acid, like, breaking up. She'd take her, like, this device, like a little suction cup, and then she'd crunch it up. You're like, oh, man, like, to have that, like, around your tailbone, you know.
Well,
do yourself a favor, dude.
Yeah, I need to do something. I also probably need to like go and get an MRI done, just for like I've had that pinched nerve that pops up on occasion. Like I genuinely feel like when Chris did that dumb shit and was like, oh, I can hold you guys up, and they all fell on top of me and I landed on my hip.
And it was like Chunk and the Goonies crying.
Yeah, I really think like
that really screwed Nathan up for a while.
I really think my hip sort of dislocated, and then it just never completely went back, and then everything just sort of grew around that. Maybe I don't know, but it feels like when I feel right here that my hip's just jutting out a little bit more than it is on. I don't know. I need to get it looked at, and I got the insurance now to cover all that wonderful shit. Anyway, God, man, what the hell are we even doing now? This went from like. Spawn,
at least we stayed on the topic with Spawn from the beginning to the end of it, and now we're doing a rant at the end of the show. Where people can turn this out, and if they don't want to listen to it, they don't have to.
Right.
So,
this was fun. Let's do something unprecedented. I say fuck it. Next time we do capes and commentaries, especially you know one of the condensed episodes that's not a full length movie, let's do episode 2 of this.
Yeah, I'm more than fine to do that. Absolutely.
Don't know when that will be. I don't want to make promises to anybody on here now or on the audio. Capes and commentaries, we might do that next weekend. We might not. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, my biggest concern was, you know, Fans of Power was that's the one I really want to take a break from. But doing these commentaries is a lot of fun. It really is. I enjoy doing it. So, you know, we don't want to take like long hiatuses from this stuff, and you know, because people who still listen to it week in and week out, you know, I think everybody who wants to devote their time to listen to what we have to say about cartoons that are over 20, 30 years old. So we don't want to deprive you guys of something that you listen to religiously like that. So thank you for that. And, you know, I don't want to take long breaks, you know, from it, but we also don't want to turn into a job where it's like what Nathan was saying, where your time is zapped. Because these do take time. We watch these stuff beforehand, and some of them, not all the time, but a lot of times we watch this stuff in our free time to come on here and not sound like, you know, I'm Mr. Generic. I know a lot about this. And then you watch, you don't know jack shit about it. Don't really care because I got less subscribers. I can be, you know, dumber in the head and a hog is in the ass. You know? So we like to sound prepared for this stuff, and it takes time for it. And
I don't think I've ever heard that saying before. Is that a real legitimate thing?
Eddie Akers, who used to work with at Waze, he used to, you know, when people would piss him off, that was his go-to, like, he's dumber in the head than the hog is in the ass, you know. And
That to me, that doesn't make any sense. There's also one that I've heard that doesn't make any sense. I'm about to tee off like a golf ball in a tile bathroom. I mean, I
that
get
doesn't
it.
Make sense. But like saying, like, you know, a hog has more brains in his ass than you do in your head. That's
yeah, okay,
that.
all right, yeah.
Yeah.
And right, I guess I was just thinking about it a different way.
But now the tying off, that it's golf too. So I'm like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
If it was putt putt.
But
that's what's at. How come they haven't made professional putt putt?
I'm sure there is. Dude, there's got to be. There's professional everything. I'm going to look it up now.
All right.
Professional putt putt. Professional Putters Association, the PPA, for over 60 years. Founded with the purpose of funding America's greatest putt putt golfers. Yeah, dude, the 60th annual PPA National Championships will be played the week of September 16th through the 20th, 2019, in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Why can't it be in Myrtle Beach?
Because
I got some of the greatest putt-putt locations in Myrtle Beach, I'm telling you.
I hate to break it to you, but Myrtle Beach isn't the best.
What? All right, well, you know.
You know what I was saying about we're not quitting, we're quitting. I'm done.
Yeah, this podcast is over, and I flip the table over. I pull on a motto and just leave it, Nathan, hanging here on dead air.
I don't know what they're barking at in there. They probably need to like go out and take a shit or something, or someone sat on someone's pillow too close. Weirdos.
And Nathan goes out there and joins them, takes the shit in his backyard too.
Yeah.
Nathan lends itself to, like, you know, just picture Nathan in certain scenarios. Even if I haven't seen it before, I can make myself laugh. Just how would Nathan react to that? And then I just start laughing about it, because Nathan's. It just is his response and the visual look of him in that situation. I mean, Nathan doesn't have to do much to make me laugh. He really doesn't. Just, I wish people like to recreate those times where I'd stay the night at his house and, you know, he'd get pissed off about something, or we're reviewing or watching a movie and he doesn't, I don't know. It was just, you'd have to be there, because God, he still is to this day. Doesn't take much, you know. Of course, he laughs at me when I get pissed off about a movie, and so we both enjoy seeing the other one angry.
Well, I mean, your dynamics changed a lot too. You've definitely, believe it or not, Tyler used to be super positive outlook on everything. I felt like, yeah, like we'd go see bad movies, he'd be like, yeah, that was so bad, and it would like ruin his week. But
yeah. So not much has changed in that regard.
Yeah, but before, Tyler was all like wide-eyed and rainbows and the world's great and everything. And I laugh now just because some of the things that come out of his mouth is shit I would have said like 10 years ago. And it's just funny how he's
I guess it's because I demand more out of my entertainment. And when I'm not getting it, I sound very angry all the time because I don't like settling.
Well, it's not even just that either. It's it just anytime it makes me think about McDonald's, where you're sitting there and you're sad and you got your ice cream and Phil Collins is playing.
God. Yeah, because it was an unsuccessful trip to run it, because we were hoping to buy some good stuff and they had nothing, and go to McDonald's and get like the worst hot foot sundae and this bad Phil Collins song's playing in the background. And
yeah,
just thought that image was so funny.
You were eating it and, like, you took a bite and you're just. It just instantly.
Look at the feet.
Yeah. It's like, but you kept eating it. That was the funniest part. You're just staring off Phil Collins. It was like a sad Phil Collins song too.
Yeah. And it wasn't a very good one either. It wasn't like In the Air Tonight, which is not sad. It's an ass kicker, but not something you feel like it's one of those Phil Collins songs. You're like, it's kind of embarrassed to be seen listening to. Like, I like Phil Collins, but only certain songs. And that it was just a bad, because we'd make those trips to Roanoke hoping to find some great toys and movies, and I didn't buy anything, and it's not fun to go all the way down there and to come home empty handed and to have a bad hot fudge sundae, and then Nathan just starts laughing at you. I remember it. That was also the same McDonald's we got Nathan's car got towed when we went to go see a WWF house show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we had to run all the way down.
I mean, that was my dumbass idea anyway, because there weren't any parking spots at the venue, and it was kind of too late to like drive down and get the shuttle, even though that's what we should have done. I'm like, fuck it, let's just park at the McDonald's across the street. And then they make the announcement. I was like, oh, it'll be fine. Car got towed. I think I had to pay like $150 to get it out.
Yeah.
And we had to walk. God, we walked for a while. That was probably a good 3, maybe 5 miles. It felt like it anyway.
Yeah, because we would run some, then walk some. And I had a date that night, too. And I think she was going to cancel. I was like, we're not going to be able to make it home. I got a date tonight, too. And she.
And like, it was cold. And I think it was raining a little bit.
It was, I think it was like in April.
Yeah, it was like overcast. And it was like sprinkling a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So we got close. Yeah, that was. We had fun at the house show, but they announced.
I was going to say that show sucked.
Well, we got to see like the Hardy Boys, like tag team. That was fun. But I remember they announced, too, at the beginning, Edge and Randy Orton were not going to be there. And I was wearing a Randy Orton shirt I just bought from Hot Topic. We both wanted to see Edge and Randy Orton. And that was like...
Well, you wanted to see Randy Orton.
Well, I'm saying Edge, too, because you were interested in seeing Edge, I do know.
Yeah. And the main event was John Cena and Umaga, and the Great Khali came out at the
end. It was the plug Judgment Day, too. Like, that's when Nathan did his famous, come on, Kingston. Come on, Santana.
Oh, yeah. This was when Kofi Kingston was just getting on the road. He didn't have a character. He wasn't on TV or anything yet. And the guy and the kid in front of us, it was weird. We're in Southwest Virginia, and his accent didn't even sound. He was, come on, Kingston.
Come on.
And then there was also like that big fucking dude that I thought they were going to push. And he just sort of floundered out. He didn't even make it to the main roster. I can't remember his name. And I think he lost, too, to, like, I don't know who it was. Let's just say it was Rico or something. I remember reading on the dirt sheets that Stephanie McMahon and all them were really impressed by him, like his size and everything. I saw him in the ring. I was like, yeah, he's drizzling shits. And he didn't make it to the main roster, so that was good. But yeah, just anybody that was out there, that guy kept doing that with anybody. Come on, Kingston.
Come on, Santino. Come on,
Santino.
And Nathan was doing it right behind him, and I don't know if the guy either just chose to ignore it
or he probably really
couldn't hear it. Yeah,
I was being a dick.
Yeah. Well, because the guy, I mean, I know everyone's there to enjoy themselves, but it was just very dorky. Like, yeah. I know he's a father there with the son and everything. It was just, you couldn't help but notice.
No, we were dicks. There's no way around it. They were there to have a good time, and I'm just sitting there like, yeah, fuck you, and fuck this show. This sucks. I mean, that was basically the mentality. You know? I'm trying to think of what the rest of the card was too. I can't remember other than the main event and the Hardy Boys against Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. I don't remember anything.
I don't either. I remember John Cena giving his promo about, like, I guess the colleague thinks I'm just going to roll over. Well, maybe next weekend at Judgment Day.
Oh yeah. You know. When was that show?
2007. Yeah, April 2007.
See if I can find it.
Late April.
Oh, wait, here we go. I think.
Oh, man.
Indiana. Let's see. Oh, it was May.
Okay, May. Okay, yeah.
All right, here we go.
I thought it was April.
We're going to run down this card.
Holy crap, I can't believe you found that.
Carlito beat Shelton Benjamin. Oh, he lost.
I remember. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He lost to Eugene. It was Dan Rodman. You guys look him up. He was like huge and jacked, but he sucked. He sucked. Anyway, Eugene beat him. Kofi Kingston beat Val Venus. Val Venus was still at the company at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Crime Time beat Johnny Nitro and Kenny Dystra. Oh, the Great Khali did wrestle. He beat Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
God, I forgot about that. Yeah, because, yeah, Duggan came out and chopped for him.
That Juggin, it works. Santino beat the masterpiece, Chris Masters. Oh, he was
ICJ. I had no memory of that.
Melina beat Mickey James. The Hardy Boys beat Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch, and John Cena beat Umaga. There you go. That was the card. Man, huh?
You may go.
Just reading that just sucks, man. That sucked. What a shitty fucking card.
At least the first one we went to where it was Kurt Angle and Undertaker. You had like,
on
the card.
Yeah,
Xbox was on the card.
Yeah.
Both the Hardy Boys and Lita were on the card.
Jerry Lynn was there.
Jerry Lynn was there wrestling Jeff Hardy. Hardy and Xbox.
Was RVD there as well?
No. Well, he wasn't there for that one.
Let's look up that card. That was what, 2002?
Yeah, it was their senior year. Yeah. It was in the summer, though. Maybe it was like summer before senior year.
Maybe it was 2001 then.
Yeah.
And that was a terrible card.
See, you guys, you guys may not know what that, but I've listened to Nathan's take on wrestling since high school. And nothing makes me laugh more than hearing him talk about how bad a match was or how much he hates a wrestler or how the pay-per-view itself. That's why I love always going back to saying WrestleMania 17 and he makes that face. He doesn't have to say anything because he's done it so many times. But that face.
Awesome show till the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, check out Transitional Champion podcast that I do with Dirt.
Yeah. It's a good. They do a good job, and Nathan.
I mean to let loose a little more on there, but there is a little bit of language restraints. I can't really drop F bombs, which, But link for that down below. Go ahead and give that channel a subscribe. What are you laughing at? I found the card, by the way, for 2001.
Wow.
Here we go. Kai and Tai beat the Haas brothers. That was Charlie and his brother. Passed away, and Charlie Haas ended up kind of coming through tagging with Shelton Benjamin.
Mm.
Lita defeated Ivory.
Yeah, I remember that.
Matt Hardy defeated X-Pac. The Acolytes beat Bull Buchanan and the Good Father.
I remember that.
Was around. Yoshihiro Tajiri beat S.A. Rios. Rhino beat Justin Credible. Jeff Hardy beat Jerry Lynn. Kane defeated Albert. This is when Kane was IC champ, and then Undertaker beat Kurt Angle. Definitely way better than the 2007.
Yeah, but we did get to see Matt Hardy and Lita enter the building from their car. Like, that was pretty cool. Like, me and Nathan wandered around and saw them coming in.
But I've also been to other wrestling shows that Tyler didn't go to. I went to ECW house show back in 2000, and that was nuts. That was crazy. I actually have the story of their coming through the crowd, and I guess someone had left their beer there, and it's like, go to hand it to Sandman, because people, well, they came through, and Sandman was just like taking the beer from people and just like, either pouring it or smashing it against his opponent. Can't remember
how I got it. Wasn't Ball, didn't you get to talk to like Balls Mahoney there or something?
No, it was Blue Meanie, and he was dating that porn star at the time. What was her name? Jasmine St. Clair. I got their autographs on the program. So that was cool, because they had like a little intermission thing. Let's see.
Kind of like that TNA show we went to. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, and we got in the ring with
Kurt Angle. Yeah. Got all the autographs for free. Like Rhino's autograph, Motor City Machine Guns.
Here we go. This episode is just extra long. It's like, all right, now they're just talking about wrestling. They went from like people being offended to talking about wrestling and all that stuff. Anyway, here's the card for the Salem house show that I went to. Jerry Lynn defeated Simon Diamond. Kid Cash, Nova, and Jazz defeated the Dupps, which the Dupps were actually the Haas brothers. A little trivia there for you. Ikoto Hidaki, I honestly don't remember that guy, defeated Super Callo and Prodigy in an elimination match. Mike Awesome defeated C.W. Anderson, the tag champs. Oh, yeah, this is kind of neat. And this was actually December 99, by the way. Tommy Dreamer and Raven defeated Tommy DeVito and Angel, the full-blooded Italians.
That's so cool you got to see Raven.
Yeah, New Jack defeated Nick Grimes, which is kind of funny thinking about that now, because those guys fucking hated each other. Spike Dudley defeated Little Guido, Sabu over Mikey Whipwreck, Justin Credible and Lance Storm over Danny Doring and Roadkill, and Rob Van Dam defeated Rhino.
I didn't recall you getting to see all those names. I thought it was just like,
that was a cool ass show. The crowd God. Loud and only because that Civic Center is smaller, so it was only 2,200 people there. It was packed. It was
I imagine it had to
be. It was cool. That was probably one of the best wrestling shows I've ever been to. All right, I guess I'm done reading cards, the house shows and shit that I went to. Any final thoughts on Spawn 40 minutes later? I mean, we're going to do episode 2 either next week or when we come back, or, you know, if time allows and we want to do a full length, if we want to do like Turtles 3, we'll keep it in the air of when we're coming back for this show and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wholeheartedly would like to keep this one going because I like this a lot. It's fun and it's different. And that's what I like about it, you know, and I know it's, you know, most stuff when you look up stuff on this show is it's some guy uninformed and sitting around. I don't think it's true, but, you know, I'd like to think that people realize we're trying to do something different here. So I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's a good idea that we're doing this. You know, I definitely would like to keep it going.
We'll just keep you off of fans for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe kind of alternate retro every other week the next few weeks or something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But they're not going away. None of them are. We may have to cut back to frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah, so spread the word for people who are like, you know, oh, they're quitting. Ah, the hell with them. Who needs them?
Yeah. The dirt sheets are wrong where you're not quitting.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave Meltzer got it all wrong.
Yeah. Minus 5 stars.
Yeah, the Pro Wrestling Podcast, you know. Yeah, they had it going until the very end, you know, quarter star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sick of Tyler and his bitching about saying everything sucks. negative 3.5 stars.
Nathan's okay, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we'll do that. Look forward to episode 2 of Spawn next week.
Yeah.
Episode 39 of Capes and Commentaries. Thank you guys for joining us live. Thanks to you that check us out after the fact. Check out all the links down below. Check out Fans of Power. That we're gonna keep doing. We're not quitting. Link is down there. YouTube.com/Fans of Power Podcast. Check out Beyond Retro Podcast. Buy Joe's t-shirts. Hit him up for a custom. And check out Transitional Champion Podcast, where Dirt, Doug Turner, and myself are gonna be on the road to WrestleMania. We're gonna break down the shows, go over the results, give our thoughts on certain things. We'll see.
And Nathan has promised to try not to hang himself live during a recording.
Yeah,
as you get closer to WrestleMania.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier to just go to .com or look at the Reddit and look at the results, because there's pretty detailed results in there. It's sometimes it's just easier to read it instead of watching it, because it's way less time.
Yeah, and less headache inducing.
Yeah, but we'll see how it goes. Mania season's always pretty good. Well, this year
he didn't even buy that statement.
Well, it's just because you're going to reach a point where the nostalgia acts aren't going to be around or don't want to be around. And then what do you got? Oh, hey, all these wrestlers you shoved aside for all your nostalgia. No one's going to care.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But if you're new to the channel, please hit subscribe. Ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. We're close to 100. Help us get there. And watch for Beyond Retro Arcade. It's the other reason to ding the bell. So you get that on your phone. Did I leave anything out? Check us out on Podbean and iTunes. Feel free to download those. I've really like botched shit out of this outro. I've been doing so good for so long, and now it's just all falling apart. But download those. And I want to encourage you guys on Podbean and iTunes. Hop on over to YouTube. Give us the subs. Give us the subs. Leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on Spawn, either the movie or the animated series. Did you watch it when it was new? Did you catch it after the fact? Did you rent the VHS tapes like we saw in the stores? And I always pass by it because I don't know why. You would think that I, at the time that these came out, I would have been like super, super into it. I was just like, man, what was I into at the time? Probably just video games and like baseball, honestly. And I was playing baseball a lot in this point in time too. So I was probably just like concentrated fully on that, and I Spawn never tore me away from it. But I'm going to listen to the soundtrack at some point today.
Yeah. Two Steps or Long Way to Hell by Marilyn Manson. And the, there's one, I got it right here. There's another song,
Crystal Method.
No, that one too.
With,
I listen to it every so often when I'm working out too.
Is it the Satan song?
No, I wasn't a fan of that song.
Really?
No, I because Derek had the sound. My brother, he had the soundtrack to it. So I used to listen.
I'm not ashamed to admit that a decent amount of those tracks were featured prominently when I was a backyard wrestler.
Skin Up, Pin Up.
I would have to hear it.
Well,
don't play it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Copyright strike.
Yeah. Manson and 808 State. But yeah, I like that song a lot, though, on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we'll episode 2 next week. Man, I don't even know how to wrap this up. Man.
Well, we're done. I mean, that's why these things are so long. And it's
we've read for a long time on this one.
Yeah.
It's one of our longer ones, but it's good. I think it was good coming off of what happened Sunday to sort of like do this and just sort of get our,
yeah, we had like our VH1's Behind the Music, but all the rock and
roll. Oh, and well, and, the other,
know,
the
I
other
went down thing, to a spiral of, you know,
no, well, the other thing anymore. The other thing too that we didn't really address, so I'll do really quick before we finally get off the air. Some people were kind of assuming where we did start late, and I said that there had been little annoyances that some people were kind of thinking that we were like fussing and fighting with each other before we went on. That wasn't the case at all. I want to throw that out there. We were just talking. Tyler was like, "I'm burnt out," and Joe was like, "Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense." And I'm kind of sitting here because I just want everyone to talk. And yeah, there were some things that we put out in front of each other, things that needed to be said, but no, there was no, it's not like we were yelling and
no, we did have some frustrations that,
yeah,
you know,
I feel like that with, that's with anything, anytime there are people working together as a team on something, that's just shit that comes with the territory. But the three of us are, we don't let that kind of stuff.
No, I mean, me and Joe even talked privately on Monday night. We had a great conversation about stuff. So
yeah.
And Nathan and Joe have talked privately. Yeah. So it's, you know,
all is good.
Yeah.
We're not quitting. There's no dissension. There's no terribleness. I just, we're throwing that out there now. And Joe and I will probably talk about it on Fans tomorrow night.
People,
I want to reiterate it to everybody. Like everything is good. Everything's fine. Just we need to step back a little bit. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Long episode. I don't even know what we're doing anymore. I'm sure just like
say, and done. Click.
Yeah. No. Thank you guys again that joined us live. And until then, until next time, we'll see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.